Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Go with me to Joshua chapter 1 is where we're going to be here. And I just want to sometimes it's good to get a little insight. Why Joshua? Why are we in Joshua? Well, I've been thinking and praying a lot, you know, like God, where would you have me go here as we begin Wednesday nights? And just the phrase that just been over and over in my mind over the last few weeks is that phrase that I mentioned on Sunday morning from Romans 8. It wasn't by chance that came up. I've been meditating on it, right? That's what we should do, right? With Scripture, it's one of those things, yeah, we want to read it for quantity. We want to get as much of the Word into us as possible, but we also want to take bites and chew on it, right? Meditate on it. Really think on it deeply. And one of those verses that just has constantly been in my mind here lately is the one that I mentioned from Romans 8 on Sunday, and particularly Romans 8, 35 through 37. It's just been stuck in my heart. It's been stuck in my mind, particularly there in verse 37. But I'll read the whole thing to you there, 35 through 37, to kind of get started tonight. The Bible here in Romans 8, God says to us, "Who shall separate us from the love of God or from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." And that verse, or that phrase right there in verse 37, is the one that I can't get out of my head. That we are more than conquerors. And as I noted on Sunday, while it takes three words in English, more than conquerors, in the Greek it's just one word. Hupernikao, or some would pronounce it hypernikao. All right? More than conquerors. It's a compound word that means to have complete triumph, right? To overwhelmingly conquer, to utterly destroy your opponent. It's kind of like in football. If football is your favorite sport, it's kind of like in football, defeating your opponent by 59 points, which is what the New England Patriots did to the Tennessee Titans in 2009. 59 points, won by 59. It's kind of like defeating your basketball opponent by 68 points, which is what the Cleveland Cavaliers did to the Miami Heat in 1991. That's a whooping. It's like beating your baseball opponent by 27 runs, which is what the Texas Rangers did to the Baltimore Orioles in 2007. So hupernikao is not just winning, it's winning big, right? It's not just conquering a little. It's conquering to the utmost. And this is the kind of victory that you and I are to experience, right? We are to be more than conquerors. We are to be over conquerors, right? Super conquerors in our life. But here's the key. It's not through our own power. Romans 8:37, staying right there for a moment. Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors. And then, guys, in the Bible, prepositions are so important. You got to pay attention to the prepositions because they help you understand how everything fits together. All right? We are to be more than conquerors, it says, through Him who loved us. So the victory, this overcoming, this utter triumph, this utter victory comes through God who loved us. And so it's God's power, God's love. It's not because I'm great, but because God is great. All right? That's the key here as we go and think about life and this overcoming. I keep saying it over and over again, right? Our hope is not in us. Our hope is in God. We are not great. God is great. And so through Him, I don't know about you, but this is the kind of life I want to live. I want to be the one who is the overcomer, the conqueror who is more than a conqueror. But what does that look like? And so I got to thinking, where are the places in the Bible that demonstrate this? And the one that kept coming to my mind is the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. In fact, when you think about it, the book of Joshua is all about conquering. It's all about overcoming through God, all right? So today we're going to begin a series that I'm calling More Than Conquerors, Victorious Living Through Joshua. And so that's what we're going to do. We're literally over the next 11 Wednesdays. And keep that in mind, that's all the Wednesdays we have here in the fall, all right? When you think about fall break, and then we at Thanksgiving, things kind of wrap up on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, all right? We have 11 Wednesdays. And so over the course of these 11 Wednesdays, we're going to walk through the book of Joshua. And if you've been reading the Old Testament through the Bible that I've been doing, the Bible reading plan, like we read Joshua a while ago, and it's so good. There's action, man. I mean, it's like watching an action movie. And so I'm pumped about it. I'm excited to walk it through it with you, okay? So again, More Than Conquerors, Victorious Living Through Joshua. Now, just really quickly, just a couple of things here. Joshua is actually the author of this book. It's about Joshua, a lot of it, but he's also believed to be the author. And as we're going to see here in a moment, he's Moses' successor. He's the one that God had chosen to lead after Moses. Now, the conquest, when was this written? Well, the conquest of the Promised Land, it began around 1400 BC, all right? 1400 BC, so roughly 3,500 years ago. So that's when the book of Moses, or the book of Joshua, was written around that time. And so, guys, it's just filled with amazing history of how God brought the people of Israel into the Promised Land. So, as we turn to Joshua 1 and we think about being more than conquerors and living victoriously, let's see what God's word says. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Here's what God's word says. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all the people into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So when you think about this here, here's tonight's truth that I want to just focus in on here for our few minutes together tonight, is that tonight's truth that I want you to grasp, or tonight's takeaway, is to live victoriously in strength and courage. Right? I mean, that's really what he's talking about here as far as this victorious life, is living in strength and courage by standing on God's promise to be with us. Over and over again, y'all, God calls Joshua to be strong and courageous. I mean, this is one of those like most famous verses in the Bible, right? I mean, we love this one. You know, we have VBSs based on this. I mean, it's just one of those passages that is easily preached, right? Man, be strong, be courageous. And so a life of victory is certainly marked by being strong and courageous. But what's the basis for that? That's the question. What's the basis for that? I mean, history tells us that Joshua, he was a great warrior. He was. And he was a great leader. And so was his confidence to be in himself? Maybe that's one of the things you walk around with, right? You are self-confident. You know your stuff. You're large and in charge, and you're ready, and you're focusing in on your strengths and what you can do. Your confidence, ultimately, if you were to be honest, is really in you. And listen, we're all tempted at times to put our confidence in ourselves. We are. Surely there's times that our bravado gets the best of us. But sometimes our bravado actually gets the worst of us. Think about this for a moment. God brought Israel out of Egypt, led by Moses. He takes them and does all those things, all those mighty works, all those things to get them away from the Pharaoh, brings them through the Red Sea, takes them into the wilderness, and he takes them all the way to the promised land. And he sends spies in, 12 spies, remember this in the book of Numbers? Sends 12 spies in, and the spies come back out. And whose confidence, as they come out, where is their confidence? Is it in themselves or is it in God? And the answer is, it's in themselves. So sometimes, man, our bravado can cause us to really think highly of ourselves. And other times it can cause us to say, it can't be done. Because if it's dependent on me, if I'm hoping in me, we're ruined. And that's what they saw. They said, these people are big. These people are scary. Like, they're numerous. There's no way that we can do this. They had misplaced their confidence. All right? And so again, maybe tonight you've come in and you're not the one who's confident in yourself in the fact that you think, yes, I can do it by myself and make this happen. Maybe your confidence is in yourself and you're the one who says it can't be done. But we got to understand, if we're going to be strong and courageous, as God called them to be, and that carries forward to you and me throughout the scripture, then our confidence has to be in the right place. We read here, actually, in this text here, the basis for Joshua's strength and courage. God tells him where it should be and why it should be. And you need to understand here that it's the same basis by which Paul said we're to be more than conquerors. Let me go back here for just a moment to Romans 8:37 again. You got to see this. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Paul's strength? No, through him who loved us. In other words, the basis for Paul's statement that we're more than conquerors is our confidence in God, all right? Our confidence in God. And it's no different here. That's what we see over and over again here with Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Live victoriously because God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. And so I say to you tonight, as we think about living victoriously, as we think about living this life of strength and courage, we do it by standing on God's promise to be with us. That's where our strength is. That's where our courage is. That's where our focus is. And through him, we will be victorious. God is with us. And here in our text, God demonstrates three ways tonight that he's going to be with us. First, he tells us and demonstrates for us that God will be with us as he was with our spiritual forefathers. God will be with us as he was with our spiritual forefathers. You know, guys, one of God's greatest graces to us is to show us the past faithfulness, right? John Piper wrote a book that's really helpful. It's called Future Grace, and one of the main parts of his thesis is that we know there's going to be future grace because there's been past grace. He's shown us over and over again that he's promised he's going to do it, and he can do it, and he will do it, no matter what it is. Whatever he's promised, he's going to do. And so he shows us this past faithfulness. It's interesting here as God begins to talk to Joshua here. He actually begins with Moses. He says here in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now think about this for a moment. When Moses died, how do you guys think the people of Israel felt in that moment? And for those of you who are new to Wednesday nights, we talk back and forth to one another. I'll throw out a question every now and then, and so love for you to just pitch out your ideas and talk. No wrong answers here, just talking. How do you guys think the people of Israel felt? Scared, sure they did. Lost. Their leader was gone. Their leader was gone. Moses had been with them for years, right? Decades. Many of them knew no other leader. And in fact, none of them knew any other leader except for Moses. Because remember, God killed all the older folks, you know, there in the wilderness there as they wandered for 40 years. But he says there, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, this wasn't news to Joshua. God had already told Joshua and already told Moses, like, you're going to die. We're going to get back to the Jordan River and about to cross it. And Moses, although I love you, you will not enter in. In fact, God told him numerous times. Sometimes we think of Joshua, you can think of Joshua as a continuation of the book of Deuteronomy, right? It's like they just flow into one another. Over and over again, if you just search the word Joshua, the name Joshua in the book of Deuteronomy, it comes up numerous times, and a lot of times it's basically God saying, yeah, Moses, not you, Joshua, is going to take them in. So God's told them numerous times. And here, God reminds Moses why in Deuteronomy 32, 48 through 52. Let me pass out a couple passages of Scripture here, and you different folks can read it here. If you have your copy of God's Word, you have your phone and would like to read with us, or it's going to be on your screen here. Either way, just to get someone else talking tonight. Deuteronomy 32, 48 through 52. Would somebody read that for us tonight? Anybody? Okay. Thank you. Deuteronomy 32, 48 through 52. Good. So right there we go. And so God's just telling Moses, like you're going to die. You're going to go up on a mountain. You're going to get to see the promised land, but you're not going to go into it. And he reminds him why, where Moses sinned there in the midst. He broke faith there in the midst of the people of Israel. And when you're reading there in the book of Exodus, and you're going, wow, he didn't seem like he did much, right? I mean, he struck the rock twice and spoke to it ugly and, you know, things like that. And you're going, wow, man. But nevertheless, God said, because of the way that you treated me in the midst of the people of Israel, you're not going to go in, all right? And Moses did exactly what God told him to do. Just a few verses later, a chapter or two later, Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 8. Here's what we read, Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 8. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 8, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him the land, Gilead as far as Dan, and Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I'll give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So check this out. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him. That he there is God. And God buried him there in the valley of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed, his vigor unabated, and the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And so here's Moses, and you just see the faithfulness that God had toward him. I find it so interesting here that it says that it's like he didn't even age. Just like the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, their sandals didn't wear out. Well, Moses' bones didn't wear out, and his joints and his cartilage and all the things that normally happen to us as we get older. Like, he was like a fresh young man. Even at 120 years old, he could see fine, he had vigor, all that stuff. And God had been so faithful to him. And so God says here to Joshua here in the beginning, "Moses, my servant, is dead." And I think he's doing that because he wants to tie Joshua's service to Moses' service, right? I think he wants to remind Joshua that just as he had been faithful to Moses, he would be faithful to him. In fact, guys, look at verse 5 here in Joshua 1:5. Joshua 1:5, that's exactly what God tells him. He says, God says to Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." Moses had led Israel for over 40 years, and he'd been so faithful, again, bringing them out of Egypt, bringing them to the promised land the first time, sustaining them for 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But you know what? The faithfulness of God didn't begin with Moses, right? In the Bible, we got to go back, right? I mean, God just said a moment ago, "I'm going to give you the land." Joshua's going to lead them into the land that I promised to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Abraham had received, if we go all the way to him, Abraham had received that promise from God where he basically said, "Get up and I'm going to show you where to go." That's all he said. But he received that from God about 700 years before this. 700, 800 years before this moment here where the children of Israel are standing on the banks of the Jordan getting ready to enter the promised land. 700 years before. God had been so faithful all over those years through Abraham and then through Isaac and then, of course, through Jacob. And even Jacob going down into Egypt with Joseph and then being brought out. It's just a beautiful story of faithfulness, guys. Now, what I want you to understand tonight, God in this life has called you and me to be strong and courageous. But he's given you instance after instance, story after story, example of it after example of how he has been faithful. And so that just bolsters you and me to be strong and courageous because we know that God will be with us. He's proven it to our forefathers. And we don't have to go to the Bible, right? I mean, you all have stories of your own family, right? If you grew up in a Christian home and have a legacy of faith in your family, you've heard stories how God has saw your families through. Or we can think about present, you know, history as far as a few centuries back where you read stories of great missionary things and all the things that God has done over the years for Christians. Like, he has shown time and time again that he is faithful. He has been a good God. He's been with our spiritual fathers. And so that past grace, guys, points us to this future grace that God will be with us. Therefore, we can live victoriously. We can live boldly, strongly, and courageously because God will be with us. That's the first thing we see in the text here. That's right there in the very beginning. But secondly, we can live this way knowing that God will be with us because God will be with us to guide our feet to blessing. Notice what happens here in the text. God begins to lay out what Joshua is to do. All right? Look there again at verse 2 here in Joshua 1. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan and all of the people, you and all the people, into the land that I'm giving you to the people of Israel." Notice this. "Every place that you set the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all of the land, the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory." And so God is about to guide him, about to guide his feet. Literally, he says, wherever your foot goes, wherever your foot treads, God guided his feet to blessing. And that's what the entire book of Joshua is really going to be about, is God is bringing them in to blessing, into this promised land that he'd given them. And guys, again, God will be with us to guide our feet to blessing as well. You know, there's a lot of battle in here. There's a lot of which way do we go? We don't know if we go this way, that way, or not. Which way do we go? And God says, don't worry, I'll guide you. And I want to remind you all tonight, in particular, when you think about being guided today, God gives us an amazing gift in the Holy Spirit. When you think about being guided, about where should you go, what should you do, clearly you have the Word of God, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, but you also have the Holy Spirit. Now think about this for a moment. When you go to John chapter 16, I was just at Hope House 2 weeks ago, and was looking over John chapter 16 with them. Jesus here is talking about the Holy Spirit and his guidance. I actually want to start here thinking about the Holy Spirit, how God is guiding us today with the Holy Spirit. He says here, beginning there in John 16, 4, and we're just going to read down several passages here, but he says this, "But I have said these things to you that when the hour comes, you may remember what I told them to you, or that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you." So Jesus is saying, I was with you, okay? "But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask where you're going. But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless," listen to this, y'all, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." That's really a staggering verse when you think about it. It's like, whoa, wait, what do you mean, Jesus? I thought it was better with you right here. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you'll see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Verse 12, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Listen to this, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he'll speak not on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will guide," or that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Here's a thought for you tonight. The Holy Spirit inside of you is better than Jesus beside you. Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit inside of you is better than Jesus beside you. The guiding of the Holy Spirit, like we often underestimate, particularly us as American evangelical Baptists, right? Whatever category you want to look at there, we kind of underplay like the role the Holy Spirit has in our life. But guys, look here at all that Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to do for us. And he's there to guide us. He's there to lead us. He's there to convict us of sin and to guide us to truth and all the things that he does there. So we thank God for the guidance. Now, God spoke directly to Joshua. And God doesn't speak directly to us in that regard. But he has the Holy Spirit in us to guide us. And so just know this. We can be strong and courageous because the Holy Spirit is in us. Right, God is with us. Literally, he indwells us. And so it's so important to remember you can live boldly and courageously. You can live victoriously because God will be with us. Actually, we could say God is in us to guide our feet to blessing. And then the final thing I want to point you to tonight, as you think about the third way that God is with us here in the book of Joshua, demonstrated here, is that God will be with us through his written word. And that's where Joshua kind of ends up here, right? That God will be with us through his written word. He points out just several times down through here in chapter 1 here Verse 7 here, reading down, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all that's according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We cannot underestimate the power of the scripture, right? God has spoken to us. He has revealed his truth. He has revealed what he desires for us to do and what he desires for us to be. And he's here with us. Like, if we were to say, God, speak to us. Oh, Lord, just say something. He'd say, I've already said it. Open my word. I'll tell you what I've said. Look at it. It's right there on the page. Like, God has written it down for us. He has written it down for us. And we can turn to it. We can trust it. We can read it and know it and do it. And he will lead us to be strong and courageous. And here's the deal, guys. In those areas where God has clearly spoken, you don't have to be cowardly. You can be bold. In those places where God has said, this is the way it should be, we don't have to walk away and water it down. If we would just speak freely and truly God's word, if we would stand strong and courageous, how much better would the world be if Christians would stand on that and live in that and speak that? And so God is with us in his word, and so we can stand strong. We don't have to doubt. I was really heartbroken the other day, because people want to know the future. They want to know what they should do, which direction to go. And Facebook is one of those things. It's really good a lot of times. And then sometimes you're just like, man, I wish I could just turn it off. One of my youth back from a previous church had written on there, what online psychics would you recommend? And then she wrote, don't judge, I'm serious. And I'm going, bless her heart. Like, what is she trying to do here? Like, turn into like psychic witchcraft and all this crazy stuff. Like, if she really wants to know what she's supposed to do with her life. I mean, she's in her 20s. She may even be close to her 30s now. And like, she's purposeless in her life. She doesn't know where to go. If she would just open the word of God. Like, we often say, like, what is God's will for my life? I just wish I knew it. He's told you. He's with you right here, and he's told you his will for your life. You don't have to consult all these strange things and these, somebody said, I don't know a psychic, but I can read tarot cards in the comments. I'm going, no, just, and I didn't comment, I wanted to, but I didn't comment. And so, guys, if you want to know where God wants you to be and what God wants you to do, if you want to know how to live a purposeful life, a victorious life, read his word. That's where it's found. That's where it's found, because God is with us through his written word. So again, tonight's truth, live victoriously in strength and courage by standing on God's promise to be with us. Now here's the deal as we wrap up Joshua here. As we wrap up Joshua chapter 1, is that notice here, tonight's truth is an action verb, right? We're to live this. It's not just a belief thing, right? We would all probably say, yes, yes, yes. I believe that God is with us. Well, the question is, are you going to act like it? Are you going to live it out? Now here, that's what they did. Notice here. God says, be strong and courageous. Go live victoriously. Go be strong and courageous. And just like with Moses, I was with you. And I'm going to guide your feet to blessing. And I'm going to be with you through this written word. I mean, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And what does Joshua do? He gets up an axe. He gets up an axe. He lives it out because he is convinced that God is going to be with him. He does what God tells him to do. Start there in verse 10 as we just read down here. And we'll finish out chapter 1 to finish up our time tonight. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go and to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he's to you, and they are to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession. You shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of your Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua. So Joshua here, he's acting. And then here the people, they come ready to act, believing that God is going to be with them. They answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we'll go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment or disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. They were able to act because God was with them. They believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was with them. Therefore, because of that, they were able to live victoriously and to begin to take the land. Now, just a quick thing right here. He talked about the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He's like, you women and livestock and children stay, but the men go over. Just keep in mind, and I should have had a map up here for you. Their land that they were given was actually to the east of the Jordan River. So when we think about the Promised Land, we usually think about that land between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea, okay? But those three tribes were given land east of the Jordan. That's why they said that. But nevertheless, they all went in and acted. They acted in light of this. And so here's my final prayer tonight. Guys, think about the promises of God that he's given you. Over and over again, he's promised, just like he did with Joseph, that he would not, or Joshua, that he would not leave you or forsake you, that he would be with you. Even here, we're going to see as we get into the book of Joshua, not only is he going to be with you, he's going to fight for you, drive out your enemies before you. All of those promises, here's my final prayer, may the promises of God embolden us to live victoriously. Be bold. Be bold. That's what we need. That's what we should be. Bold Christians. Not because we're great, because our God's great.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us. And I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.